Solid waste is an issue that resurfaced recently. Do you think the borough should play a role in solid waste management? If so, how should it be funded? And we'll start with Leonard.
I think the first thing that should happen is we should have an open process where we actually do discuss this as a community, because I really don't have the answers to that. But we need to have not anything put on fast track so that we actually have the whole community involved in this, or at least those that are interested enough to step forward and be involved. I really don't have a lot to say past that, because I haven't, you know, this is a fairly new issue and I haven't honestly thought about it enough to make a comment, other than I really do fear that it's not going to be, it's going to be trying to be pushed through quicker than it should be.
Tom?
I think that question on solid waste management has been framed as, should we, the government be involved, and should we have some kind of universal fee? And I think that that approach is a solution that's looking for a problem. Now, I understand that on Small Tracks Road that recently there was a residence there with years, tons of trash, and that was an enforcement flaw by the borough not to go after that under the nuisance ordinance. I think this is a little bit like the junk car issue. I think we need to have laws in place and enforce those. Now, I understand some people, low-income people particularly, may not be able to meet the, or don't have money for taking their trash to the dump, and I think we could issue some waivers for those folks who may be taking their trash and dumping it in the woods. We could do education in the schools, similar to what Al Badgley did with fire prevention, which was enormously successful. And while we're telling the kids, you know, not to, how to prevent fires, also let them know that, hey, it's not good to take your household trash into the woods, and maybe, you know, they could have some influence on their parents. I just don't think that we're there. I don't think we need to create a new bureaucracy yet for a problem that, as far as been demonstrated to me, is not widespread. It's sporadic.
Diana?
Interestingly enough, the Commerce Committee is put out the request to the mayor to develop a work group concerning this, to get public input about solid waste management. At this point in time, I am not for it. I see more cons than I do pros for it. So the idea of having a mandatory tax or a mandatory fee or mandatory everything, anything in order to make it work, it kind of goes against my grain. But I am not privy to all the details. And all the details will come out in that workshop. And I encourage, if there's anyone out there that is really interested in this issue, the borough is not promoting this. It wound up in a standing committee of the assembly. It was brought to that committee by another assembly person. The assembly never directed this committee to take on solid waste management. Community waste is a private enterprise. Borough and private do not mix, period. I don't want to see the borough go into something that now all of a sudden they're going to be the landlord, if you know what I'm saying. If someone defaults, now what do we do? How do we collect our money? I don't want to see that. I think it would cause more problems than it will fix problems. So,
Judy?
Yes, I'm not for a solid waste, not, you know, flat fee either yet. I was at the Commerce Committee that decided to have the group study it, and I think that's a great idea. They do the recycling and the community waste, and a lot of people will get together, and that's kind of what we've been talking about today, to get people's views. And there are a lot of options. I mean, you know, containers out the or a station out the road that maybe could help. I mean, they went through quite a few things, so I'm kind of going to wait to see what they come up with. And like Tom said, that doesn't seem like a big problem. We've been doing our garbage, and I don't think you're ever going to stop people from dumping out the road someplace. It might not even be the local people. It could be RVs and, you know, tourists that come through and stuff. So I'm curious to see how they come out with their meeting, and we'll probably attend those.
Heather?
Well, I've ridden my bicycle this summer about 3,500 miles on Haines Roads, and I've seen a lot of garbage on the side of the road, and that's discouraging, you know. Up at 25 Mile, up at that pretty little gazebo overlooking the river, if you look over the edge, there's whole trash bags and stuff that get thrown there. And so I think there is... there is some room for concern, and I know even when you're at the Eagle Preserve pull out there, and the trash containers that are there, great. But if you open them up, you know, there's bars in there, so you can only put, you know, a wrapper for a power bar or something in there. But if you were an RV or a tourist traveling, you couldn't put a little bag of trash there, and there aren't really any containers around that you can do that. And it seems like. We could do better with especially finding places for our visitors to put their refuse so it doesn't end up in our bushes. And maybe that could be part of the tourism tax could go towards some sort of a thing like that at the visitor center, a dumpster or something that would help. But I also think that Haines Friends of Recycling has done such a tremendous job in reducing a lot of the trash, especially ones that are after special events. They do a pretty much waste-free bike race cleanup, the fair. It's incredible. And so Tom has a good idea that a lot of it may come down to education and trying that first. As most citizens know who are using the Friends of Recycling, you know, your personal trash bill has gone way down. I know at the library board stopped using the borough dumpster and paying that fee, and wound up just having staff members or board members do the recycling, and we literally saved thousands that we didn't have to pay the borough for trash. So I think there's ways to do it, but it might involve more of a concerted effort, and I'd like to see that happen. I think we can get a little cleaner, and it would be nice to figure out how to do that without taxing everybody, but rather turn it into sort of a good thing that we like to pick up, and we've got this great way to do it.
Ryan?
I've looked into this issue quite a bit lately in the past few days. The garbage issue is a very big concern to me, living here my whole life and probably seeing some of the worst times in Haines for garbage problems, starting with the dump bears roaming around town and all sorts of stuff being dumped out the road. I think if an adequate service can't be provided, then the borough needs to step in to ensure a clean valley, really. Petersburg and Wrangell both have taken on their solid waste management plans. They run their own dump. They do their own stuff with recycling and everything else. The one thing that Haines doesn't have is a solid waste management plan. And if you go right to their, like, Petersburg website, one of their things right on there, if you go under Public Works, is their solid waste management plan and what they need to do. And I think that is one of the things we need to look into, especially if we're going to start building a new sewer treatment plant and everything else, and we don't even have anything else for garbage and stuff like that. So I think the borough, the assembly, really needs to look into this issue.
Do you support an expanded cruise ship industry in Haines? And do you support reducing docking fees as a strategy to draw more cruise ships here? And we'll start with Tom.
I think the town could easily accommodate a large ship 5 or 6 days a week. I'd like to have one day of the week when the town kind of had a break. That was kind of the plan, I think, when we built the dock in 1995. I believe now we've forgiven most of the docking fees, and we're seeing if that's successful. So I think that decision already has been made, and we'll see if it's successful. You know, I'd like to remind folks that we had a tourism program here from 1986 to 1995 before the big ships came in, and it was aimed at bringing independent people here, and it was largely successful. 1992, which I think was the 50th anniversary of the Alaska Highway, you could walk from my newspaper office down to the harbor on the tops of RVs. We had four RV parks in this town that were operating at that time. I was disturbed this summer to see that the borough did not swing into action right away when we lost our Golden Circle ferry connection between Haines and Skagway. I think that was a huge setback. I think, you know, attracting cruise ships will always be difficult because they can make a ton of dough in Skagway on board the train with the cut that they make there. It will never be that attractive. We should obviously sell our port as an alternative to the crowds and the kind of the gift shop ghetto in Skagway, but I think that we also can't lose sight of those independent travelers. We're between two government towns, Juneau and Whitehorse, and the beer fest, the fair, the bike race has proved that those young people with their big government paychecks will come here and drop money, and they love it here. So I think that might be a wiser investment in terms of effort. And also to market Haines as an alternative to the cruise ships if they want something a little bit on a more human scale, maybe than the other ports. Thanks.
Heather?
I too think that we could use a few more ships, you know, four or five a week, especially the smaller ships, I know. I also, I've spent the last two summers, I go on board the ship every Wednesday and do a little reading and answer questions. And it's been really enlightening because both the two the ship out here, the Zandam and the Nordam, that have been coming in, their crews and their entertainment directors and their captains love Haines. And they talk about it all the time. And they tell everybody this is a real town and it's different than all the other towns. And you don't even just get off and walk around, you're going to love it. And it's quiet. And so I think we've got good PR. The other thing that surprises me, and this is Tom, this is something that might be interesting for you, is that I always ask, you know, what's the number one tour when I go on the ship? What's the big tour? And most of the time, the answer is the number one tour today is the train. The tours on this ship are going to the train in Skagway. So we kind of have the train, and we have the boats. And so it seems to me that we're doing pretty well just being Skagway's neighbor and owning that fast ferry. That's helping us. And people are going back and forth between Haines and Skagway on that ship. And not everybody does, but I don't know if we can handle everybody on the ship emptying out into Haines either for our tours. So I think that's something that's good. I also agree with the idea of doing more for independent travelers. This summer I was asked to schedule some trips for people that I work with in the publishing industry in New York, and they wanted to come to Alaska, and they wanted to stop into Haines to see me. And between me and my daughter, JJ, who's really good at this stuff, we couldn't... It was really challenging to try to explain to them how they could get here from New York, and they were going to go to Juneau, and then they were going to go to Sitka, and there's not information readily available for most travelers to figure out how to get to Haines if you don't come here on a cruise ship, especially if you're not driving around the Golden Circle route. And I think we could really do well if we put together a little package that they have, say, in even small towns in Mexico. If you travel, you can look it up, and they'll tell you what airport to fly in, how to get the bus or fly into Juneau, how the ferry schedule works, how to get to Haines, what you can do when you're here, where you can stay. We need a little more assistance for independent travelers that are coming in that way. And I think there's a market for it, and I think we could do it.
Ryan?
I think more ships would be great. I think they should pay for their docking. I think that would help pay pay for a lot of things. I have to pay my mortgage for my boat every year. I know everybody else that has a boat in the harbor has to pay their mortgage every year. We don't get no tax breaks or any breaks. There's also, I mean, the independent traveler, we driving around the camper parks at one by the car wash used to always be full. We drove by, I think it was once this summer, it was completely full. You know, I knew that traveling was down, and you hear reports of that, but, and the ferry schedule's probably some of it too. But I think we should work on trying to get more of those kind of people back into town. That works. I think there's ways that the different money can be spent also. 1% of the tax goes into tourism and economic development money, which this year the tourism department alone gets $420,000 from the borough. So the borough right there is supplying money to a private industry. That's another one. That's already, the borough shouldn't be in with private industry. Well, there's the number one thing that the borough is in right there is tourism, $420,000. Maybe that should be where some of the boat harbor money comes from.
Leonard?
Well, I'd be happy to have a cruise ship a day in here, in Haines. But I'm hesitant to continue free moorage. I haven't really looked into the whole budget of that, but it seems to me that we shouldn't be subsidizing the cruise ships. I don't think we should be gouging them, but I think we should look at what a reasonable moorage is and try to work that way. I don't think we can go there in 1 year, but I do believe that they're an industry and they should pay their way like we all have to do in our own businesses. The city doesn't come by and say, oh, Leonard, we don't want your sales tax this year. We want to help you in business there. I just think fair is fair.
Judy?
I appreciate Leslie. She's got a lot of the smaller cruise ships. I kind of like the smaller ones better than the big ones. There's less impact, and they seem to spend more money than some of the, you know, the big ships, especially the Wednesday ship. The rubber road traffic, I know, disappeared when the price of gas went sky high, and I just think we're now starting to maybe recover some of that now that the price of gas has gone lower, so it's a good time to remarket that. That Golden Circle route, I agree with Tom, we should have fought for that. The better ferries have a huge impact on Haines, because if people can't get here and the boats get canceled, and I mean, it's just, it's awful. I can't believe the ferries, you know, it's almost like they do it intentionally, but I think we just need to advocate. I think the boroughs and the cities need to be more proactive on the boats. Now the roads, you know, coming up again, and I think Haines has been against the road and for the ferries, and we might have to start that up again. We could maybe do some things like, you know, we have the bike race and stuff, but maybe, you know, get some car shows or something that, you know, that bring people through here, because those people stay longer. We have a lot more destination weddings right now that are bringing people that spend a lot. That's a great new avenue, the vacation rentals and things like that. I know there's an issue about bed tax and stuff like that, but those things can get figured out. I just see a new, kind of a more than just cruise ships. I think that I agree with Ryan. Some of that money needs to go, not just to cruise ship entities like that. And as far as the docking fees, I mean, it was like $14,000. I mean, $14,000 in Haines is a lot more than it is to a Royal Caribbean or Holland America. I mean, that's like a blip. I mean, that's like nothing. So it's even kind of offensive that they would even take it, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, if if it works. I don't think it's forever. I think it was a plan, and we do. The Lindblad chips are coming back, the seabird and sea lion. That's going to be great. They spend time and they enjoy the community. I've had so many tourists over the years at Alaska Indian Arts and stuff just stand there and go, this is what we came for. This is real Alaska. Don't change. Don't become Skagway. I mean, it's a million times. So that's where I would be. Would develop a little more personal experience for people, and ones that have the less impact. So we don't have to go buying. Building more docks and more bathrooms and things like that. Right now, there's $20,000 in the budget to paint the PC dock bathrooms, and I haven't figured that one out yet.
Diana?
The cruise ship docking fee has paid off for Haines. In 2017, we're due to get 3 to 4 more cruise ships. 2 of them are going to be the large ones. The 50% docking waiver only applies to these large ships out here, not to the small ones. The question
sure.
is, can we do more?
Do you support an expanded cruise ship industry in Haines, and did you support the docking fee, the reduced docking fees?
Yes, both. Yes, I voted yes on the docking waiver because we were debating ideas. We were debating ideas in the Tourism Advisory Committee of what we could do. I'm sit on the liaison for that committee, and many, many ideas were thrown around. Public would come to those committee meetings and they would toss in their ideas. That was done 2 years ago. The cruise ships set their schedules 2 years in advance. So 2017 will be the first year that we see the increase in dockings here in Haines because of that. It also has a sunset clause. We gave it 3 years to see if it actually will work for Haines or maybe it won't. And then we're going to have to go back and try something different. But hopefully in the meantime, there'll be other ideas that come forth that will be good, better, just as valuable that we can put in play. But do we get it right the first time out? Maybe not, but maybe we have with this, because we have had many, many cruise agencies that are very interested in Haines because of that cruise ship docking waiver. Yes, our comp plan says a minimum of 3 ships a week. We can handle 4, 5. I wouldn't want to see double enders, like 1 at the dock and 2 out in the bay, nothing like that. But yeah, I see what this community is like when there's a ship, like last Tuesday when the Crown got blown in here, and it's vibrant. I go to Skagway once every summer just to live off of the vibrancy that goes on over there. People are working, they're busy, they don't have time to be angry with each other. They're trying to make ends meet. You know, it's we've lost a little bit of that here in Haines. But yeah, I like to see business and people making business and doing business and our visitors enjoying Haines. Who doesn't?
All right, I think we're just going to do a couple more questions. All right. Haynesboro government has been accused multiple times by citizens of violating the Constitution, the borough charter, or borough code. If elected, how would you respond to those concerns? And we'll start with Judy.
Okay. Can you repeat it again?
Sure. The Haynesboro government has been accused multiple times by citizens of violating the Constitution, the borough charter, or borough code. If elected, how would you respond to those concerns?
Well, in the as far as the police department goes, people have their constitutional rights to have an attorney and to be in front of a judge within so many hours and all of those things. If those start happening, I definitely would want to know about it. Hopefully our new chief is aware of the Constitution and how things are going to go. As far as the borough, I don't know. I follow our plan, our charter, our rules, be familiar with them. People have rights to their home, and they respect that. I mean, we need to respect that. So I'll just play it by ear as it comes along.
Ryan?
Look into each individual case and see if any laws were broken, and if they were, see what needs to be done. You know, we've voted these people in to see to that we should be trusting, and if they're not doing what we think they're doing, then something needs to be done. I think that's one of the reasons a couple of us are here. We're just tired of seeing stuff go on that we don't think is right.
Leonard?
Well, that's one of the primary reasons that I chose to run, that the when things get fast-tracked and through the borough and they don't follow all the rules, the code, this stuff is all in code. It's not like we're picking stuff out of the sky that's wrong. These are things that have been written down. These are all have a track record of what is legal and what isn't. And it's easy when you get in power and you want to get something done and somebody's in your way to walk over them. Well, I don't think that's right. Everybody needs a fair hearing, and everything needs to be as open as possible. If there's comes out of a committee a bad report that doesn't fit your narrative, you don't just throw it under the table. You give it due respect. It may not be correct. Yes, some of those decisions will be hard to be made, but you just can't hide it and ignore it. We do have laws and codes, and the people that wrote those put a lot of work in them to try to make our government as fair as possible.
Diana?
What we have found in the past is our code needs revision. It has been since consolidation, when we took the town site and the third class borough and we merged them. And we have antiquated code. We have code that contradicts itself. And unfortunately, we don't have anyone that rides shotgun over it. We find these things in the most inopportune time, usually when we're having to debate or use a portion of code, and then we find out that the dateline is wrong or the intent is wrong with it. Well, what we have done now is the mayor has solidified a code commission review, and that is a commission that will never go away. They will constantly be reviewing code and making sure that we don't have anything that contradicts each other, is repetitive, or the like. As far as people's constitutional rights, as an assembly person, because I'm not a law person, I'm not a lawyer, I don't pretend to know everything there is to know about everything. That's why we have a borough attorney, and we defer those things to him. And whatever he comes back with is what we generally follow, because he has the borough's best interest at heart. And if there's any litigation that takes place, he will be the one that is on the borough side for the litigation. So we don't go into anything half-hearted. We don't hide anything. We're very transparent to the best of our ability. But also remember, folks, we're volunteers. They don't pay enough for this job some days. I average anywhere from 3 to 5 meetings a day. And when the mayor is gone, I step into her spot just in the event that something needs to be addressed. I'm not complaining about it because I've really found a love. I really enjoy this, the good, bad, and the indifferent. And I want to see things change, all for the good. But I can't do it, and I'm only one of six. And the six of us can't do it without your help.
Tom?
Yeah, I think that in the past few years, there have been examples where the public process has been jimmied a little bit. I think that was ethically wrong. I think now there are a couple hawks in town. Shout out to Mike Denker, who's usually in the audience looking at the law and watching borough proceedings. I think those have been unfortunate. But I think we also have to consider when the assembly also needs to consider not just whether what it's doing is legal, but whether what it's doing is morally right. And this is about decency. And too often, I felt in the past, the assembly will take an action or go into executive session and say the lawyer said we could do it. And that shouldn't be our barometer for how we treat each other in this town. If it is, then we're all going to need a lawyer, and it's just going to be logjam city. We're not going to get a thing done. People that go to a borough meeting have to feel that the people that they're speaking to on the assembly genuinely have heard them and maybe have taken what they've said into account or to heart. I think this, particularly with the boat harbor issue, somehow the 65% plan got steered to the assembly before it went to the planning commission. And people came and they spoke, and I don't think they felt that they were listened to on a certain level. And I know this gets a little nebulous, but a lot of it's about showing some goodwill and genuinely doing, acting in a fair, open way. Because once we nail it, once everybody says, "Well, that's technically against the law," and that's, you know, we get to a point where everybody needs a lawyer and nothing gets done.
Heather?
This question is actually right up my alley because I'm kind of a geek when it comes to the borough documents and the guiding documents. And when the Planning Commission was looking at the harbor project, I was trying to figure out why are people so angry, or on some of the issues involving heliports out the highway. And I'm like, okay, there's a basis, and I'm seeing people passionate on both sides. And so I went to the charter, and I actually bring this with me when I go to Planning Commission meetings to remind myself, and the preamble of the charter, and this is where I think the trouble begins a little, because the citizens have this expectation. We just formed this new borough not too long ago, and the preamble says that the purpose for forming the Haines Borough was for a more responsive government and more control over local affairs. And then it goes on to say, right in the front, it says, a government which safeguards our diversity, harmony between neighbors, and respect for the environment. And if you read that, if that was on the wall in the borough assembly chambers, right up behind where everybody can see it, that might really change the atmosphere in the meetings, because that's what our government is formed for, and that's actually, Tom, the law. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I think we don't always keep that in sight. The other thing is, when I'm sworn as a planning commissioner and when all of us are as assembly members, we also have to swear, you know, to the state constitution. And Alaska, again, it was new and it has a really interesting one, and it gives all the authority to the people. And it says the government is solely for the good of the people, and that everything the government does has to be for the majority good of the people. Even the way we manage our resources are supposed to be for the maximum good of the people. And that's something that all elected officials swear by. So are we doing that every time at the assembly level? Is that who we're listening to? Not always. And then if you go right to the Constitution, I mean, freedom of speech, freedom to petition your government for grievances. We've had people thrown out of the borough office. We have people told they can't park a sign that's offensive somewhere. I mean, that seems kind of treading dangerously close to not being constitutional. So I think, and Diana, the borough assembly, our whole job is the legislative body. We're supposed to know the laws, and we have to. And even I was even reading the documents about the borough budget for 2017, and it says that it's lined up against the borough strategic plan. We don't have a borough strategic plan other than one that was made up by David Sosa and a group of assembly members, I think. It should, by code, it says shall, that means it has to be, lined up by the comprehensive plan. And the comprehensive plan, if you read it, it'll make your heart sing. It's just great. It has all the information that we need to run the borough comfortably, and it says that the borough assembly will use it as their guideline in every decision. So I think we have some great laws and great guiding documents, and if we just followed them, we could solve a lot of our problems.
All right, I'm going to ask everyone to just give a closing statement. If you could add anything else about what you feel you would bring to the assembly if elected, that would be great. We'll start with Ryan.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all of you for coming tonight and listening to us. My slogan's thinking about the future. I'm a young person, been living here all my life, looking to step up and try to help this town out. I would like to be on the assembly to do so. I think change is needed in this town, and I think I can help. Thank you.
Diana?
Likewise. Thank you all for coming tonight. I enjoy being asked questions and being able to explain some things, why we do things, why we don't do things. When I first got on the assembly 3 years ago, I came in with a pretty black and white view of, by God, how I'm going to fix things. It wasn't too long after that that it was shown to me that in order to be effective, you learn the process. Like anything else, you learn the job that you're doing. And you know what? 3 years is not long enough. I'm still learning a lot. I have learned how to speak differently, and I have learned how to make motions effectively, and I do a ton of research, and I'm always prepared when I go into the assembly meetings. When I go into the assembly meetings does not mean that I am locked on to a certain decision, because quite a few times I've had my mind changed just by listening to the public input. Do we listen to you? I listen to you. I listen to all of you. I look you right in the eye and I listen to you. Whether I vote the way you think I should vote, maybe I don't, but it's not because I don't listen to you. I'm fair, and I think I still have some more work to be done on the assembly, and I think I can do a good job at it.
Judy?
Well, I'd like to advocate for more budget transparency. It seems like that's one of the main issues that people want. After looking at some of, like, Wrangell and things, I think I'm going to try to change my budget at school because they have a great format, and then maybe talk to Gila, and maybe that would help. It explains everything right there on the page, because that's the problem I have at the school district, is people just being able to explain the budget and all the transfers and things like that. So I'm hoping that's where I can help. Again, the democratic process. I agree with Heather. The planning commission and the comp plan. I'm going to get more familiar with that. One time I went to a conference, and the Northwest Arctic Borough, they do everything. Everything they do, they base on what's good for kids. Whether it's the government, the education, the business, or whatever, any major decision they do, they always go back to what's good for kids, because they figure what's good for kids is good for everybody else. And I just remember coming away with that, thinking that that was a kind of a good philosophy, and working at the school, that's kind of where I start too. It's like, you know, is this good for kids? Or is it good for admin or the borough or whatever? So especially when you have to start cutting or reducing funds to certain places, it's good to know where your priorities are. And I just feel like this is a time for me. I've thought about it over, you know, several times and backed out at the last minute. And for some reason, this just felt like this is a time for me to serve the community and use my experience and my connections statewide to bring some ideas and research what's working well in other communities. And so that's why I'm here. Thank you. Thanks for coming. And thanks for all your support on the streets and stuff when you see me on the streets. I appreciate it.
Heather?
I'd like to thank everybody to KHNS for doing this. And also, I think it's pretty neat that there's this many of us running. I think every time we have an election, it basically becomes a referendum of how the assembly's doing, and that's why we have them, and that's why we have terms that last 3 years to give us all a chance. So I think it's pretty great that there's five challengers anyway. It shows that people are interested in the government and maybe have some new ideas. I also think that hopefully what I could bring to the assembly that may help get things on the same track is to start off with the things that we all agree on rather than the things that we disagree on. And in all these surveys that they've done, and the last one was in 2011, point to the fact that I think we all in this room know is that like 75% of the people in Haines rate the quality of their life very high. We like it here, and we like the community, and we like the people that live in it. And so we like each other, pretty much. And so I think all we have to do is kind of harness that energy somehow and get it so that when you go to a borough meeting, you're in the same town as you are when you're at the fireweed or you're riding your bike somewhere, and that the feeling is positive. And I think that's possible, because I think we're very close, and we should be able to do it. I also would say that if I am elected, I'm not the smartest one in the room, but I think I know enough people from enough different backgrounds, and certainly have enough family members here between everybody, that I think I could draw on other expertise for different issues. And I think that's the real strength in Haines. We've got a lot of really smart people here that have been underutilized. And I think at this point, our government could use your help and our help and all of our help. And I hope maybe I could be a conduit that way. So thank you.
Tom?
I'd like to say thanks for turning out, and I hope you all vote. And I'd like to put in a plug, something in my platform for supporting young families. I had a discussion with Dave Rickey, who's a local carpenter. He's got a young child this afternoon, and he said, you know, I leave in the wintertime. Is there just not that much to do here? He said, I don't have any problem paying more taxes for some services to create some things here. A big part of why I want to reduce the police department is I'd like to establish a community recreation program, a real program, that had stuff going here every weekend. Recreation pays for itself about five different ways. Your residents are healthier, they're not depressed, they have things to do, they're more productive. You can use those events to bring people to town, just like the bike race. We used to have softball tournament here in the summertime. I think it's time. I think our community slogan is like Jungle Gym of the North or something, Adventure Capital of the Arctic or something. You know, let's provide that for our locals. You know, I think if Haines had the energy it has in July, in January, would there be any problems here? You know, a big obstacle to this town is that we have about 8 months of winter, and we have to make that winter more attractive to keep people here, to keep people shopping here, to create a real community here. I fear that more and more every year we become a bit like Skagway with a bigger exodus of folks. I support anything or just about everything in terms of recreation, winter musical. I didn't get a chance to answer that question, so I used my time to say it. Thanks.
Leonard?
Yeah, I want to thank you guys for coming out. I think it's fun to be able to share what we feel about government with you. And I want to tell you that if I'm elected, I will look at every dollar like it's my own. I'm pretty frugal with my own. I will not be spending your money any quicker than I'd spend mine. Another thing is that I've been thinking about this week. I was thinking about maybe the hardest thing there is to keep government from growing. And so I don't expect to be successful in that, but I can try to be the loyal opposition to all of that growth and bring out the other side of it and try to keep, you know, we have a great town, but it's easy to let the budget overrun and cause us problems. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that's all the time we have. Thank you, candidates. Thank you, audience.